So I have collected some interesting notes from hearing from my Gurudev. And so I'm going to read these notes a little bit and share some of these ideas with you. So this topic we're reading about here is about chanting the holy name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, which you're all quite familiar with from birth. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Shastras, Chaitanya Charitamrita, another Praman, Shastra Praman, which we accept to be our Shastra Vidhi, or the rules which we live by, the Tattva Vichara, the Siddhanta, the Tattva, the ontological basis of Krishna consciousness, our philosophy, or you say Darshan, Gaudiya Darshan, Gaudiya Vaishnava. We are followers of Lord Chaitanya. So in our scriptures, it's explaining that this chanting of Hare Krishna, unlike Brahma Gayatri or Pancharatrika mantras or Vedic mantras, Kam Gayatri, Gopal mantra, Krishna mantra, Durga mantra, there's many, many mantras that are generally received confidentially and privately from Guru. Guru will have some home or some yajna, and he'll speak some mantra in your right ear, and he will initiate you. It's called Diksha. Diksha, initiation, Dvija. Dvija or Dvija, second birth. There's our seminal birth, our janam in this body, man, woman, of a particular gotra or country, race or creed. And then there's Dvija, means second birth, to be born into the Vedas, Veda Mata. The Veda is the Mata, Veda is the mother, and Guru is the father. So mother and father come together, they produce a child. So the mother Veda, Veda Mata, comes together with Guru, Guru Vakya. Guru Vakya, Guru Vakya, Guru Vakya, Guru is speaking. And we have our Granth Sahib. There's Guru, so many Guru, Guru Gobind Singh, and Alag Alag Guru. They're all speaking the Tattva about God, Bhagavan, Govinda, Gopal, Krishna. So the Guru is speaking, Guru Vakya. So he is the father and Veda is the mother. So when we come to the feet of Guru and with mother, then we will take our birth. This is Diksha. We receive mantra. Hare Krishna mantra is described throughout the Puranas. All the Puranas are mentioning, and other literatures you'll find the Maha Mantra. And it's telling there that this particular mantra, Maha Mantra, of course we said there's mantras, Diksha Mantra, or Guru Mantra, or they say, what is your Ishta? Ishta Mantra, the mantra of your Ishtadev, Shiva Mantra, Durga, Surya, Krishna, Ram, etc., Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan, Ishta Mantra. And this is Rahasya. Rahasya means very secret. It's not to be broadcast or revealed. But we see this mantra, this other mantra of these three words, Hara or Hare, Krishna and Ram, they're broadcast everywhere. In the Mandir, in the Gurudwara, in the Mandir, in the Gurudwara, in the streets, everywhere, in the home, people are chanting this mantra. And in Shastras, this mantra is called Maha Mantra. There's many mantras, but this is called Maha. Maha means heavy, great, large, big. The big mantra, Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. And everyone knows that mantra. We chanted that mantra. Now, this mantra, it's told in Shastras, it doesn't require initiation. There's no Diksha function. We don't need to hear it from Guru. So then why, if even the Gaudiya Shastras, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, are saying, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra doesn't wait for Diksha. It doesn't require Diksha. It is so powerful. It will immediately give effect. It will create purity of mind. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha. It will be cleansed. These will be removed by contact of this mantra. It is mantra oshadi. It is like medicine. Very powerful. Medicine purifies our body. It removes the contamination of disease or infection from our bloodstream or from our body or organs. So it's called oshadi or dawa. We say dawa, medicine, oshadi. So this is mantra oshadi, maha mantra. Very powerful, powerful mantra. So how is it, if the Shastras are saying that the mantra doesn't require initiation, how is it that in the Gaudiya Sampradaya that a guru will speak this mantra? He will give Harinam initiation. He will initiate his Shishya or Chela into the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Because it's freely available everywhere, every rickshaw wala, taxi driver, pilot, anybody, housewife, businessmen, anyone's chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes businessmen, they go on Saturday on Shobha Yatra. Shobha Yatra means they take some photo or some picture of some deity or their guru, and they parade around the streets in Pratakal of sunrise, Arundaya, when the sun is rising, and they go with some dolak, mridang, kartal, and they go around the neighborhood, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And these are businessmen, Agarwals, Guptas, whatever, whomever, Sikhs, anyone. And they go around the neighborhood in Punjabi Bagh or in Delhi or Carol Bagh or anywhere. I know a group of businessmen, 7 or 8 businessmen, they go every Saturday around Kirti Nagar or some place like that. Kirti, that's a great place to do Kirti. They're doing Sankirtan, Samyak Kirtan, Samyak means many together. It's called Sankirtan, and Kirti means the glories. The glories, the fame, the name, the Mahima, the glories of God. And the holy name is so powerful. Ramnam, our friend was telling us the glories of Ramnam from Charitamanas. You were reciting a shloka of Tulsidas. So she's taking shelter of Ramnam and finding some result as promised by Sant Tulsidas. So this is the result is when we contact God, that is, it is prophylactic, it's purifying, it is elevating, it is energizing, it is beneficial. It's called Sukriti. So this is a good thing. Sukriti. That Kirti is Kriti. That gives, that's good works, good things for us. When we do Kirti in Kirti Nagar, Sankirtan in Kirti Nagar. Well, what an appropriate place, Kirti Nagar, the Nagar where everyone's glorifying Krishna. Every village, every town should be a Kirti Nagar. Right? Every town and village. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told 500 years ago that every town and village, they will chant my holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is Kirti Nagar. So they do this. So in a weekday, from 6 days a week, they're cheating and lying and doing everything businessmen do. Cheating and lying and making a good profit somehow or other and hiding their money from the government. And then on Sunday, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it's on balance. It's good. Everything should be in balance. A little spiritual life and a lot of material life. So... And our Guruji, I was hearing, he was explaining about the role of Guru. Where is the role of Guru come in here? Because people can say, oh, this Maha Mantra is so powerful, and we can read from Adi Purana, and so many we can read for hours about the glories in Mahima of the Nam, Maha Mantra. Nam Prabhu, the Master, the Lord, Nam Prabhu. And so I don't need Guru, I Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Why would I need Guru for? Because he wants, if I get Guru, then he wants money and all this. You know, he wants to build some big Gurudwar, big temple somewhere. And God is in my heart. You build your own Gurudwar. You build your own mandir. I'll keep my money with my family. I chant Hare Krishna. But I know if I go to Haridwar or Vrindavan, one of those Goswamis or those Hare Iskan Wallas or Gaudimath or whatever, and they catch my ear and, hey, you should become my chela. Then they've got pulling all my money out of my pocket. Oh, Mr. Singh, can you please help me? We want to build big temple. You know, Badiya Mandir. Worship Sri Ram. Acha, how much it costs? Oh, maybe 10 crores. 10 crores? What? So that we think, oh, let me chant Hare Krishna. But Gurudev was saying something very nice. He's saying that that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra doesn't depend on Diksha. But if we don't take initiation, we run a risk. There's a risk if we don't take initiation into this mantra, even the Maha Mantra. What is that risk? What is that problem we may face, that obstacle? The problem is we may be committing aparad against the holy name. Because the holy name is Sakshat Hari. Namino binatvam naminamano. In Padma Purana it's describing about the name. It says Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nad Bhaved Graham Indraye Sevan Mukahi Jivado. No, it's another verse. It's just saying it's manifest. But there's another verse that explains that about the name. It says Binatvam Naminamano. It says that there's no difference between a name and that which is named. You know that? I can't remember the. Yeah, that's the one actually. It starts like that. It's explaining the glories of the name. It says the name of Krishna is like Chintamani. Chintamani. Money means jewel, money. And Chinta means thought. Thought or thinking or mind. It's like a mind jewel. This name of Krishna is Bhagavan Nam. Nam Rup Gun Lila Parishishta Parikar. It is the same. It has all the power of God. The name of God has all the power of God. Otherwise, but why chant? Why sing? Why bother? But it has transformational energy. It transforms us. It turns lions into deer. It turns caterpillars into butterflies. And it turns beasts into saints. It's like this. It's transformational. So this is a problem that very name which we are chanting without Guru shelter, Guru Ashraya, shelter of Guru, we may be committing offenses to that very name. Now let's look at this, because we say that when one is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but he's not in a shelter under the shelter of Guru, then he may be offending, or what's called Nam Aparad, that very name which he is chanting. Because with everything in this world, there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. There's a right way and a wrong way to drive the car, or to cook a meal, or to conduct business, or to be a mother or father or husband or wife or anything. There's a right way and a wrong way. And the wrong way gets you in a lot of trouble, physically, emotionally, economically. And the right way brings you peace, happiness, security, fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. So in chanting Hare Krishna, in other words, there's a vigyan, there's a science of everything. The science of cooking, the science of building, architecture. It's called ology, right? Ology, biology, this ology, that ology, the science of life. And we say in our culture, Ved. Ved means knowledge. The Ayurved, the knowledge of life and balancing the life energies. It's called Ayurved. Then there's Dhanurved, the knowledge of ballistics and military knowledge. Dhanur, bow, arrow, missiles, mantra, brahmastra, Dhanurved. Then there's Jyotirved. There's the knowledge of the stars, the Taragan, the stars and the planets and the Grahan, and how they influence us, and what is their role in our lives. So these are all different knowledges, or branches of knowledge. So similarly, in the holy name, there's something called Nam Aparad. And one of the Aparads is very interesting. There are 10 Aparads which are listed in Padma Puran, one of the very old, ancient Purans. And in Padma Puran, one of the Aparads is called Shastra Ninda. Shastra Ninda, there's Sadhu Ninda, to disregard, well, let's say, to offend the Shastra, or to offend the Sadhu, the saintly person, the holy person, whichever creed he may follow. And then the Shastra Ninda. So one of the offenses, one of the aparads, Nam Aparad in Padma Puran, is to offend the Shastra. So this is very interesting. It's like a catch-22. You'll hear how it develops. So the Shastra Ninda, or nindana, means to not only to offend, it means to disobey the Vedic injunction. This is called vidhi, Vedic vidhi, the law of the Vedas. For example, it says, for someone who is a Vaishnav, Vaishnav means a worshipper of Vishnu in his various forms, Dasavatar, Ram, Nishringa, Krishna, Vishnu, Narayan, etc. Or Vamanadeva, or whatever, so many forms are there. If someone is an avowed Vaishnav or a worshipper of Vishnu, Krishna Bhakt, Ram Bhakt, Narayan Bhakt, then he is enjoined by Shastra that he must fast on Ekadasi. Ekadasi is called Harivasara, 11 days after Purnima and 11 days after Amavasya. And that is called Ekadasi, 11. Right? There's Ekam, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Satvami, etc. So, and if he doesn't follow that vidhi, then he goes to hell, which always is a good thing to do, to go to hell. It's always good. It's an offense. It's a sin. It's an aparad. It's, what is this Shastra? This is all mythology. I don't care for Ved, Puran, Mahabharat, Ramayana. This is age of science. This is all hocus pocus. It's all fiction. Fictitious literature. Okay, fine. Then see the result. But you care for Ayurveda. You're very interested in Ayurveda and the science of yoga and pranayama, meditation, and curing this disease and that disease with Ayurveda. Well, this is the same Ved. These are the ancient books of knowledge. The Mahabharata has also instructions on Ayurveda and also Padma Puran. So they teach us about how to live according to the laws of the universe, to live in harmony with the laws of God and the universe. And if we live in harmony, just like in India, if you follow the laws, then you have a relatively hassle-free life, as they say. Hassle-free life. You'd be a little bit peaceful. But if you're always cutting corners and going this way and breaking this law and that law, invariably you're going to run into trouble. If you're breaking every law, parking laws and housing laws and tax laws and business laws, you're running into trouble. You may get incarcerated, imprisoned, go to jail. You get a big fine. Or they may, if you park, what do I care about the law? I park my car here, there, anywhere. What do I care? Well, one day you go out to find your car, and your car is not there. And then you have to care. And look to find where it is. Because the police have towed it away to the compound, or pound, or whatever they call it, impounded it. They've impounded it and taken it to some yard on North Delhi. In Narayan industrial area. He said, I had my car parked in Sector 27. Oh yes, you can get it in Narayan industrial area for 5,000 rupees. Acha? Where's that? Oh, it's about 50 kilometers north of Noida. But I don't have any car to get there. Well, haribo. Take a bus. So we're forced to follow the laws. The police are there to enforce them. It's called the Law Enforcement Department. They enforce the law. They force the law into you. They're on top of you. So similarly, God has His Law Enforcement Department. And the Minister of Police, his name is Y. Maharaj. Mr. Y. Maharaj. Sometimes known as Yamraj. And he has a host of deputy secretaries. And the first secretary is Mr. Gupta. He's a UP Gupta. Mr. Chandra Gupta. And then there are sort of other secretaries that execute the will of the Home Minister, or the IG. He's the IG of Pitriloka. And you may have an appointment with him. So therefore, the laws of the Shastra are there also for us to follow. So there it says that to disregard the Vedic injunctions. So one of the Vedic injunctions, so this is an offense. Oh, I just chant Hare Krishna, I don't need a guru. Oh, that's very nice. It says you don't need it. You can chant Hare Krishna without initiation. This mantra doesn't require diksha. So I chant Hare Krishna, what me worry? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And hey, listen, buddy, it makes me feel happy. When I chant Hare Krishna, I forget all my cares and woes and cares. I feel happy. It makes me feel good. And not only that, whenever I feel bad, I chant Hare Krishna, then I feel good. And if I don't feel bad, why I chant? I don't chant. But some people say like that. But the Shastras are saying, did you know, my dear sir, there are 10 offenses to the holy name. And if you offend someone, if you offend me or offend someone, that means you displease them. Aparad, the word aparad, what does aparad mean? Apa means radha, rad. Rad means satisfaction, R-A-D-H, means satisfaction, rad. Means satisfaction, pleasure. And apa means against the satisfaction or pleasure. So if you do something to me and you offend me, we have this phrase in English, maybe you have in Hindi, I don't know. You offended me. I feel offended. Say you go somewhere and someone speaks badly of you, or they speak badly of your husband. Oh, you feel offended. Oh, I saw your husband. He's this and that. Oh, it's very bad talk. Very offensive talk. So, in the same way, the holy name is Krishna, Sakshat Krishna. And if we offend Krishna, then that means we displease him. We make him unhappy. And if Nam Prabhu is unhappy, then why and should he give us any fruits? Why should he give us any of the fruits, our Sukriti phal, from what we're chanting all this chanting? But if it's offensive, they say, you're chanting my name, but this is Nakli chanting. This is not original. This is not correct. This is too much. You're offending me. Oh, Nam Prabhu, what is my offense? I'm just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And it said no initiation is required. Oh, yes. Now, why do the Shastras say that the Hare Krishna mantra does not require initiation? Why do they say that? We have to consider this. What's the answer? I don't know. Well, I guess someone better tell us. The answer is that these statements in Shastra are to show the extreme efficacy, power, and potency of the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because other mantras, they do not have any potency unless they're received in parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidu sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. They must come in this parampara from through your guru and his guru, param guru, paratara guru, parameshti guru, samasti guru. It must come down from Brahma to Narada to Vyas to Shukadeva and down through guru parampara. Line of gurus, line of realized masters, mentors. And then the Kam Gayatri or the Gopal Gayatri or Gopal Mantra or the Sri Mantra or Lakshmi Mantra or any mantra, then it will have power. The Bija Mantra, Saraswati Bijam, or any mantra must come from Guru and you must do Diksha. Now, the Maha Mantra, the scriptures say, this mantra is so special, it doesn't require that. You can chant and still get benefit because you don't have to take initiation. But then someone says, okay, I don't have to take initiation. But that's not really what those statements are saying. They're saying this mantra is so powerful that it doesn't require initiation to act. It will act, it will begin to act even without initiation. However, you still must receive it from Guru. Because one of the 10 offenses which is mentioned in Padma Purana and other places is Shastra Nindanam, means to disregard the Vedic injunctions. And one of the Vedic injunctions is that you must take, as a human being, you must take diksha from a guru. This is an injunction of Vedas. Every human being, every incarnation of the Lord who came here and lived among us and showed his Nara Leela, his human-like pastimes, Bhagavan incarnate as Ram, as Krishna, etc. They're always showing. They had guru. Krishna had Sandipani Muni. Ram had Vashishta. They all took guru. And so you're saying, I don't need guru. Oh, you're bigger than Bhagavan? You're bigger than Ram? Ram needed a guru. God needed a guru, but you don't? And Krishna's telling in Gita, in 4th chapter, 34th verse, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. If you want to know darshan, if you want to learn philosophy, if you want to understand God, then you must have guru. If you want to know anything or learn anything, you must have teacher. You say, I know how to cook. Oh, how did you learn? How do you know cooking? When I came out of the womb, I started making paratas. I came out of the womb, I immediately went in the kitchen, started making kheer, paratas, rajma, everything. It's called atmavidya. Atmabhu, self-born. This is atmavidya. It's just part of me. I immediately went, by the time I was 3, I opened a restaurant. When I was 3 years old, I opened a gourmet restaurant. 5-star. No, you have to learn. Even how to make a chapati. You have to learn from someone. But God is such a simplistic science. Atma tattva gyan is so easy. It's easier. God is easier than rolling a chapati. Realizing God. Attaining mukti. So requires teacher. So this is a very interesting description, this Maha Mantra, that because if one's continuing to chant, but he hasn't taken diksha, then his chanting is giving some effect. It always gives some effect, but very less effect, and the effect will take long time. And the actual effect will be that at a certain point one will realize, well, wait a minute. He will read different shastras, he'll hear different lectures, and he'll get his own internal realization. It's called revelation, that I'm chanting this mantra, and I'm getting some benefit, but I think I need a guru. I think I really need a guru. And then his search for liberation, or his search for liberation begins, or self-realization begins. Kayami tapatraya. Who, it says in Bengali, Kayami tapatraya. Who am I? Why am I suffering this tapatraya, these threefold miseries? Adi atmika klesh, adi bhotika klesh, adi daivika klesh. I'm surrounded by so many miseries. My own body, the very kalevaram or shariram, or the house that I live in, the house of this body that I live in, I, the soul, the atma, the witness, the Kshetragya, the knower, the Sakshi. I am the Sharir Sakshi, or Sharir Kshetragya, Kshetragya, the knower of the Kshetra. I am the knower of this field. I know this body. I know that I exist. I'm existing in this body. But I, the existing agent, the consciousness, am separate. I'm different from this body. But living in the house of this body, I am forced, because of the nature and construction of this body, I am forced to suffer physical problems and ailments and discomforts and mental problems and ailments. It's unavoidable. Janma mrityu jravyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. Krishna's telling Gita, Janma mrityu jravyadi dukkha doshana anudarshanam. Duk dosh anudarshan. What a beautiful combination. Anu means following or in succession. Darshan means to see, to experience, to feel, to behold, to taste. Duk dosh anudarshanam. there's a lot of upcoming attractions. The upcoming attractions. A lot of good movies coming into Noida, into the movie complex, in the movie mall. Duk and dosh. Right, dosh means faults, problems, difficulties, and dukkha is unhappiness, sadness, suffering. And they come one after the other. Not, oh, I remember once when I was 4 years old, I remember one time and one day I was unhappy. I remember that. Remember that? Remember that one time in your life when you're unhappy, that one moment? Is that right? And the rest, every other day we're in bliss, right? And I remember that one time when I was 6 years old and I fell off my bicycle and cut my knee. That was the only time in my whole life I ever had any pain from my body. Just that one time. I never got a backache, a stomachache, a headache, a fever, a scrape, a bump, a bruise. Never once. Isn't it like that? You all had that experience, right? So Krishna is lying. He's a liar. This Krishna is a cheater. He's always cheating, lying, stealing gopis' clothes. You can't trust him. He's speaking this Gita. How can you believe him? He's saying dukkha doshana darshana. What is this? Janma mrityu jravyadi. Yeah, what did I... Look, I'm 15. I've been 15 forever. See, I look like I'm 15, right? 15 plus 50. I forgot the last part. I'm 15 plus 50. The 15 was right. And what about the 50? So, Krishna speaks the truth. He knows what he's talking about. Dukkha doshana darshanam. So this is adiatmika klesh. And then the adidaivika klesh, it's hailstones. Hailstones fall down and we go out. And we, just yesterday, we bought a brand new Honda City. And last night, there was the worst hailstorm that ever hit Delhi. The hailstones are falling as big as big as anar, and they completely destroyed my Honda City. When I, about 10 days ago in Braj Mandal, there was a hailstorm all over Braj Mandal. So many trees, there was, in Vrindavan, 150 peacocks died, so many parrots, some people's cars got totally destroyed. In some places, the hailstones were coming as big as Kasifal. You know Kasifal? Kasifal. Pumpkin kashifal. This big ice ball, barf. You know barf? No, barf. Coming, boom. Windshield, it'll pit smash. MVT they had all over the place. And the manager of the MVT, his car's all, he has a sumo or safari or something, all smashed up, all dents everywhere. Free of charge. No extra charge. Everyone gets free denting. It's like when you come out, it looks like your car is full of pimples. You know, little bumps all over the fender, everything, everywhere. You have to get some kind of, you know, facial or something. So this is daivik. This is daivik. This is bad mosam. Bad weather. Misery is caused by nature. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too sticky. And then bhautika, living entities, typhoid, malaria, etc. Yeast infection. My wife has a yeast infection. Realize what that was in the bread. I thought yeast was in the bread. No, it gets around. Yeast gets around, really. It travels around. Yeast infection. HIV, positive. XYZ, negative. And ABC, positive. A, positive, blood. B, positive, blood. O. So it's a world of letters. And it's a world of misery, basically, and suffering. So these are, we may get some relief by chanting Hare Krishna, but as Guruji was saying, ultimately we have to come under the shelter of Guru. The Shastras are saying that everyone should take initiation and worship the Lord. Nowhere in Shastra does it say that one should not take initiation. An interesting point. Now you say, the Hare Krishna mantra doesn't require initiation. It says in Shastra it doesn't need initiation. That's true. However, there's a catch here. Because there are 10 offenses in the holy name. And if you make those offenses, then the holy name will not reciprocate and give you the full blessing of prema or prapti or all the perfection that you can attain by chanting Krishna's holy name purely, shuddhanam. So the catch is that the one offense is a shastra nindanam, disregarding the shastra. And the shastras are saying human beings should take diksha. So basically you can't avoid, as a civilized human, cultured human being, you can't avoid the Veda, the Shastra Praman, the law books. These are law books for humanity. Like we have, there's even a very specific law book called Manu Samhita, the law book for man. But there are other Dharma, there's 20 Dharma Shastras, and that's one of them, Manu Samhita. So it gives us the injunction. These are called injunctions. Vidhi means injunctions. You must do it. There's no excuse. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. Veda is telling, from the age of 8 until the age of 80, one must follow Ekadasi Brat. Means on Ekadasi, no grains, no beans, no all these things. And many people do Falahar once a day after sunset, some fruits. This injunction, under 8 years old, there is concession. And over 80, there's concession. Because most people aren't here after that. But if you are here after 80, it's assumed that since you've been following Ekadasi for 72 years, from the age of 8 until 80, then those 72 years of Sukriti, you can say, what is it, Punya Karma, have reaped you sufficient spiritual merit that you've somewhat realized God. But generally, when people reach 80, they keep on going, because habit is second nature. We're creatures of habit. So we establish a habit, we do it every day the same way forever. Usually, someone that has half a brain, if someone is scatterbrained, then they do all crazy things every day with no system. But usually we follow routine and system. So many people, they follow Ekadasi till they're 80 and 90 and 100 and even their last day. I know when I was staying in Radhadamodar Mandir in Sevakunj, Vrindavan, my neighbor, Manmohan Goswami, he was staying there with his wife. He was retired and his children lived in Calcutta. And every Ekadasi, he would follow Ekadasi, do Nirjal, and every afternoon he would chant his Anik. Anik means Gayatri mantra. He would sit in a chair outside near the veranda of Guruji's kamra. He'd sit there and chant his Anik, his Guru mantra. Then afterwards he would go and sit down and have his prasad. His wife would prepare prasad. They were retired. And that was his routine, his habit. So one day I came out, I was doing seva in Guruji's kamra. Bachan Kutir. He's sitting there like this, like he usually does. Looks like, I don't know if he's sleeping or what, but he's dhyan or sleeping, either one. He's either meditating or sleeping. So then I went by, didn't disturb him, and then next, about 5 minutes later, big noise, crying, and I could feel. You can feel it's someone died. I felt by the tone of the voice and the whole ambience. It's a heavy thing when a jiva leaves the body. It's quite a poignant experience for everyone concerned. So then I went out in the hallway. I mean, veranda, and then his wife was holding his body and crying. He had died. So it was Ekadasi. So he was on Ekadasi. He was chatting his Anik, and he died in Sevakunj in Vrindavan, in Radhadamodar Mandir. Gaur Hari Bol. What a glorious, glorious departure. Or what you can say, death, marana. So this was his ritual, this was his daily. He was, even up to the end of his life, the last moments of his life, he was observing Ekadasi Brat. So this is Shastra Vidhi, injunction. It must be done. Our Gurudev used to say, when he grew up, that was long ago, he was born in 1896, so when he grew up in 1900s in Calcutta, British period India during the Raj. The Raj is ruling India. Or exploiting India, let's say. Not ruling, but torturing. And then he was saying that he remembered when he was a child that his friends, when they were young children, they would discuss, and they're young men, you could say, they would discuss with their uncle or their father, and his father, someone would say something. Well, actually, it said that during Navaratri, during these 9 days of Durga, everyone should worship Durga. Everyone should go in the evening and do some puja. It's very good for the family and this and that. And then the person who's listening to that teaching would say, "Oh, where is this origin of this? Who is saying this? What is the source of this information?" Then the other person would say, "This is a Vedic injunction. This is told in Devi Bhagavat, and Devi Bhagavat or in Shiv Puran. This is from Vedas. This is a Vedic injunction, which means Shastra Vidhi. It's a law." And then the other person said, "Oh, it's a Vedic injunction. Oh, it's a Vedic injunction. I must do it. Surely I will do it. Surely I will do that brat or that tapa or that puja. I must do that." Because people were submissive to the Shastra. They would follow the Shastra. They believed in it. They had faith. They believed in it. They had faith. They trusted it. And moreover, they experienced it. It was experiential. It wasn't imaginative. It wasn't imaginative or, "Well, I guess I should do it. My grandfather did it, my father did it, and he's telling I should do it." So out of custom or tradition, to uphold the tradition or to keep the custom, I should do it also. But it's actually pradyaksha vagamam dharmyam. Rajavidhi rajaguyam pavitram paramam bhavam. Krishna says in Gita that this dharma is a very secret thing. Rajavidhi rajaguyam. Guya means gupta. It's secret. It's not only secret, but the grandest, most majestic and king of all secrets, Rajavidya, this great knowledge, this king of all knowledge, this knowledge of God, this prem tattva, the understanding of the loving relationship with God, is a very secret thing, rahasya tattva, secret confidential thing. But it is not something that's simply talked about and imagined and discussed in armchair philosophy or idle speculation. It is actually pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam. It's pratyaksha dharma. Pratyaksha means it is self. It is manifest. It is seen. It is experienced. It's experiential. The religion of experience. These are the type of books that professors write, because we studied some philosophy in college. I remember that they would always try to come up with some very, very catchy book titles. The religion of experience, the psychology of Gita, or love in the Gita, or whatever. They have all these different variations on the theme to catch the reader's attention. So this is experiential religion, that each person who follows the Vedic injunctions, who takes shelter of Guru, which is a Vedic injunction, serves Guru and studies under Guru, then he will directly, individually, man or woman, whomever they may be, they will experience the result of that Guru Parashraya. Because that, in Gaudiya Siddhanta, this is where the kingdom of bhakti, this is the foundation of the kingdom of bhakti. Bhakti begins here. Bhakti begins at the lotus feet of Guru. Guru Pad Ashraya. Taking shelter of Guru. Because Guru is Sakshadhari. He's a representative. Acharya mam vijanayam. Navamanyeta karichit. Krishna is telling in Uddhav Gita, in Bhagavad, Gyara Skanda, Acharya mam vijanayam. Oh, Uddhav. You should understand, acharya mam vijanayan. You should vishesh gyan. You should really understand vijanaya, jana. You should really know, deeply know, in a very special way, in a profound way. You should understand the acharya, the shrestha acharya, he is me. Who is me? Me is Bhagavan. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is speaking this Bhagavat Shloka, 11th canto, to Uddhav, his shishya, his chela. Acharya mam vijanayan. Namamanyata karichit. Sarva Deva Maya Guru. He says, Sarva Deva Maya Guru. He says, the Guru, he is Sarva Deva. Sarva Deva Maya Guru. The Guru, all the Devas, sub Devata, they're all living within the body of the Guru. They become absorbed into him. So he has so many powers, mystic powers. He can read people's minds. He can do so many things. Because all the devatas are within him. So this is something to think about in relation to the Maha Mantra. And Guruji was explaining in a very wonderful way, which we're simply repeating from our notes that we collected from his teachings. That, of course, without initiation, the wonderful powers of the holy name will not be fully received. It's something like, to give you some metaphor, the sun is shining in the sky and the full brilliance is available. It's visible. It's tangible. You can feel it. You can see it. You can perceive it. Sun is shining, bright sky, very warm day. And all of a sudden, a rainstorm comes in from Bengal. Monsoon. Heavy, dark clouds, they come in, and then the sun is covered. The sun is still there. But it can be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but as you must have experienced. And the sun is bright, the windows are all bright, sun's coming in the room. And all of a sudden, it's getting very dark. So what's happening? It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't get dark at 1 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock in the summertime. It gets dark. Like now it's becoming dark. What's happening? And then you look, oh, heavy wind is blowing. Heavy clouds are coming. So these clouds are coming and they're blocking the sun. The full radiance of the sun is there. The full power, the radiance, the brilliance. It's all there, but we can't see it. We can't perceive it. We can't feel it. We're not receiving the beneficent radiance of the sun because of something is blocking us. What is that something? The gana, the thick rain clouds, dark monsoon clouds are blocking us. The sun is there with all its glories, shining glories, it's suspended in the sky. But temporarily, momentarily, or for some time, maybe a day or two, depending on the rainstorm, the sun is away from us and seemingly almost practically invisible. There's some light there, some effect. So this is what aparad is all about. When one is making aparad, the full sunshine, the brilliant radiance of the holy name, who is Krishna, is blocked by the clouds of aparad. Aparads are like heavy clouds. So the full effect of the holy name is not shining on our heart, not affecting our mind or our being, because we're blocking it. And this is one of the offenses, the refusal or the non-acceptance of the Prince of Vedic injunction, the refusal to accept Guru or the non-acceptance of Guru. This is an offense to the holy name. So we're chanting Hare Krishna. Some light is there. Some light is there even in the middle of the monsoon storm at 1 o'clock. You can't say it's midnight. It's dark, but it's still 1 o'clock in the afternoon and there's some light. So we're chanting Hare Krishna without Guru, without initiation. Without the ashraya, Gurupad ashraya, we're getting something, but not very much. Not like the sunshine at 12 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock noon. So brilliant to even practically cook a chapati on the pavement. It's so hot. You can roll out your chapati, put it on the street. In the summertime, you could cook it. Get brown spots on it, isn't it? The road must be 70 degrees centigrade. So hot. You see the cars, the heat waves are rising off the cars in the summer, it's so hot. And you try to walk on it. You ever try to walk on a hot ground in the summertime? You must have had the experience. Hot sand, your feet are burning. I've had the experience. And they actually get burned. If you're walking for some time on Govardhan Parikrama in the summer, you come back, your feet are actually, it's first degree burn. They're pink, they get blisters. I've had the experience. So it says, there's no injunction in the Shastra which says that for chanting the holy name you shouldn't take initiation. Then the question Guruji asks, why, if one is chanting the holy name of the Lord, why doesn't he take initiation? Why doesn't he take initiation? Because chanting means, what does chanting mean? Chanting means chanting Krishna's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanting Krishna's name means that he wants to surrender to the Lord. So why he will not take initiation? This is Guruji's English. Instead of why he will not, And why won't he take initiation, we would say. But his English is sometimes... I remember sometimes if we went to see Guruji, he would say, "Where from you have come?" Because this is almost like, this is Hindi grammar construction. It's a construction of Hindi grammars like that. "Where from you have come?" Well, it doesn't work in English. So he was thinking Hindi grammar, Bengali grammar, and then speaking English. "Oh, where from you have come?" And we liked it so much. It entered deep into our funny bone, or into our appreciation center of our brain, our guru gratitude part of our brain. And so we would repeat it to each other. Like someone would go to India and they would come back after 2 weeks or something. "Oh, where from you have come?" "Oh, Maharaj, oh, Guru Bhai, oh, Krishnadas, where from you have come?" "From where you have..." Or sometimes you say, "From where you have come?" That's what you say. "From where you have come?" And we loved it. And when he was in New York and he saw these buildings, and he said, "Oh, what are these?" And we said, "What are all these?" Because there's people, there's like 70 stories up. He looked up, 70, 80 stories, and little tiny. And people are like, people open their sliding window on their little tiny veranda, little window. And they would stick their head out like this. And look like this, right? The people in the apartment, they look down like this. "Who's down there?" And Prabhupada said, my Guruji said, "Well, what are all those pigeonholes? All those pigeonholes up there, all those pigeonholes, people look like pigeons." They go, you know, like a pigeon. And then Prabhupada said, "What is that?" And then the devotee said, "Prabhupada, that's a skyscraper. A skyscraper, that's what they call it in New York, the skyline, skyscrapers." And Prabhupada said, "Oh," and then later he would say, he went to London, and he said, "Yes, I was in New York, I saw so many skyscrapers." The skyscrapers. So like this. And then he went to some islands in the over there somewhere, in Polynesia or over there, I don't know where they are exactly. He said, I have just come from the Philippines. It's called the Philippines. Filipinos in the Philippine Islands. He said, I have just come from the Philippines. And we used to make a list of things, and it was charming. It is what we call manju. Manju? Charming? Of course, maybe that's used for lady or something, but his character, his mannerisms and his behavior, everything was wonderful and charming. Touching to the heart. So much sarala. Sarala? Saral. Isn't there a word sarala? What does that mean? Simple. Without the T?
Easy, simple.
Simple, yeah, sarala. Sarala. Maybe it's Bengali. There's a word called sorrow. Same type thing. He was innocent and like this. So that's what... Because initiation, what is it? So Guruji was asking the question. If someone is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that means he wants to surrender to God. These are God's name, and you're giving your time to glorify Him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, I have mala. I do one mala every day. It's my religion. It's my religion. I chant on the beads one mala. This is my religion. One mala every day. Some people say, I said, "Oh, that's a very good religion. But can you increase your religion to two malas?" Can you increase your religion a little bit to two malas a day? It would be very religious. If you can double your religion, you can double your religious profit if you double your investment. Because if your investment doubles, naturally your profit doubles. So you're doing your one mala religion, but why don't you do two? So then he's saying that, because surrender means surrender to Krishna. Because initiation means surrender to the Lord. Because the spiritual master is the manifestation of the Lord. So this is very interesting. It's called Naya. It's called logic. First Guruji says, if they're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without Guru, that means that they want to surrender to God. They want to serve God. And so now God is appearing in this world as Guru. Guru is God, sometimes they say. He's a representative. He's not God. Bhagavan is one entity and Guru is a representative. Like the MP is not the Prime Minister, but he's a minister. He can represent the government. He may be sent to Germany to represent the government. He's not the government. He's a representative of India. So the Guru is like that. So that he's making very interesting... Yes, they want to surrender to the Lord. Okay. But then why won't they take initiation? Because the Guru, as we said, Acharya Mambi Janayan, the Guru is a manifestation. As Krishna himself saying, his Guru is me. Acharya Mam, he's not even saying manifestation or representative. He's saying such, it says, Sakshat Hari. He is directly Hari. He is the Kripa Shakti Murti. The Guru is the form of Kripa, Krishna Kripa, Bhagavan Kripa. The surrender to Guru means surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada was saying, so by such a position, a person is actually contradicting himself. Because one minute he's chanting Hare Krishna, but then he's refusing to take Guru. So he's contradicting, because surrendering to the Mahamantra means surrendering to God. The Mahamantra is God. God, Bhagavan Nam. And God's representative is Guru, but you surrender to the mantra, or God in the mantra, but you don't surrender to Guru. And that means you're contradicting yourself, because one thing is true to itself is true to another. So the Guru is representative of God. So this is a very interesting logic. That's why I took note of it. So Prabhupada said, you have to analyze this psychology. What is the mentality behind not taking initiation? On one side, you're saying you actually want to surrender. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm chanting the name of God. I want to surrender on one side. But on the other side, you're not ready. You're not acting in such a way to surrender. Obviously, Krishna sees this cheating propensity. This is a cheating propensity. And he will not manifest his power through his holy name. At least I am modifying it by saying his full power. Something is something, but not the full, like the cloud. There's some light. So then he concluded by saying, Rupa Goswami, who is one of our Mahajans, our great teachers in our parampara, he's saying if we actually desire to attain love of God, then we must surrender to the lotus feet of Guru and then take Diksha and Shiksha and serve him. Because Sadhu Sangha is the foundation of all spiritual practice. So I think that's enough for now. There's just some notes, Guruji's teachings. Because we're only students passing on the teachings of the Acharya. We don't have the right, really don't have any right to sit on such an asan. This is called Vyas Asan, the seat of Vyas, who is the original Guru, receiving instructions from Brahma. And Brahma is the Adi Kavi. He's the original disciple. He's the first disciple. Who is Brahma's guru? Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Krishna is the Adi Guru. Adi Guru is Krishna. He's the original. God is the original guru. So this is the seat of Vyas. So someone should be qualified, like Vyasadeva, to sit in a Vyasasan. So we're simply representing Prabhupada here. So we're repeating some of his teachings. Do you have any questions for a few minutes? We were told to stop at 7:30. It's 7:30. Amshu?
Yes. Well, yeah. How do we have to suffer if we commit Namaparad?
How do we suffer if we commit Namaparad? You go to jail. No, the thing is, if we commit Namaparad, suffering, let's say, it's not exactly like if you punish, in other words, it's not like you're physically punished, it's just that the full benefit does not come. I mean, there's so much great fortune and benefit one can attain. You can attain perfection, all spiritual perfection in the age of Kali. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. There's no other real process for perfection in Kali Yuga. And you'll see, if you trace it out in various yoga groups, or philosophy circles, or New Age movement, what we call New Age movements, the art of breathing, or the art of sleeping, or the art of anything that has some kind of spiritual connection, you'll see that there's a foundation of Nam, Bhagavan Nam. You go in the Gurudwar, people are chanting Govinda Nam. They're chanting so many beautiful bhajans. And the bhajans are all about God. They're not singing some filmy songs. Oh, my lover, she left me, pom 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 pom. She left me alone, pom 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 pom. And now I'm crying, pom 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 pom. I'm chewing the bone, pom pom pom. You know, they don't sing songs like this. They sing about Bhagavan. And Draupadi and great and the gurus and the great devotees, and you go everywhere they're chanting someone is chanting, they're glorifying Allah, they're glorifying Ram. This is, Sankirtan is everywhere. So this is, in this age of Kali, it's become the universal religion. Sankirtan, glorifying the names of God. So this is the one and only, Anyata, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. There is no other means of spiritual perfection. That's why everyone is doing it, as they say. Everyone's doing it. Why don't you do it? So everyone is chanting, because this is a simple, easy, and sublime way to attain spiritual perfection. However, if we commit these offenses, then it takes long time. The full effect of the holy name will be withheld from us. So this is the reaction to the aparad, is that it's slow. You can do home study course and try to get a PhD, but it may take a while. You have a full-time job, and part-time you do home studies and try to get a PhD. If you enroll full-time in the college, full-time, and your father, whoever, supporting your education, in a few years you get a PhD, 6-7 years. So the same way, if you correctly apply yourself to chanting and become aware of, first of all, the 10 offenses, because ignorance is no excuse. Because that itself is part of Shastra Nindam. Oh, I didn't know about the 10 offenses. Well, then that ignorance is also an offense. Because that's included in Shastra Nindanam. To not be aware of the Shastras, because human life means to be aware of the Shastra. Just like you drive your car and you see there's lots of traffic on the road and you say, oh, look at the sidewalk. No one's walking on the sidewalk. Boom, boom. You get your car on the sidewalk. Vroom. You run down the sidewalk. You know, I don't know what you call it, your sidewalk, pedestrian walkway. Where the people walk, not the cars drive. And then the police say, hey, pull over. Hey, what are you doing driving on the sidewalk? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know you can't drive on a sidewalk. I didn't see any signs. And then he writes out, Section 27, driving on a sidewalk, 2,000 rupees fine. But there is a law against it. So if you're going to live in a country, it behooves you to know the rules of the country. So if you're going to live in the world of God, this is the world of India, the land of India, and India has its laws. So this world is the world of God, and the world of God also has laws. So we have to know those laws. Because the point is that one might say, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I didn't know about the 10 offenses. So that itself, that so-called avagya or ignorance, that itself is an offense. You follow? Because one of the namaprads is Shastra Nindanam. Shastra Nindanam. Shastra Nindanam means to not be aware of the Shastras, to not know the Shastras, to not follow the Shastras, and to disregard the Shastras. Everything's included in Shastra Nindanam. So there's no excuse, because human life means to know the rules of God and to know the Shastra. Especially if you're doing something, you should know what you're doing. You're chanting Hare Krishna. Well, someone goes in the kitchen and you say, what are you doing in the kitchen? Oh, I'm throwing things around, some flour and some sugar, and I have some water on the stove. And acha, well, do you know anything about cooking? No, but you know, I think if I fool around long enough, I'll get something. Well, you know, you should, before you go in the kitchen, you should know something, what you're doing and how to cook. The rudiments of cooking, the fundamental principles of cooking, you must know before you can fool around. You're engaged in something, then you should know what you're doing. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. The 5 W's and 1 H. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Who are you? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? How are you doing it? This is a simple application of logic and practicality. So therefore, they're basically, as a human being, we are responsible. Position brings responsibility. The higher the position, the greater the responsibility. A rickshaw wala, he doesn't have a very big position. He's a rickshaw wala. So his responsibility is not much. His responsibility is to pull the rickshaw, bring back 35 rupees, feed his 17 children, and feed his 5 wives, and go to sleep. So that's his responsibility. But if he's the Prime Minister of India, his position is a little bit bigger. So naturally his responsibility is a little bit bigger. Huge responsibility. 1 billion people he's responsible for. The world's the second biggest country in the world in terms of population. Big responsibility. So similarly, human life is a big form of life. There are 8,400,000 species of life. Aquatic species and plant species and birds and beasts. So many. Insects. Millions. 8,400,000. So we are what they call the crown of creation. So with this big position, we're the prime ministers of the beast kingdom. We're the prime ministers of the animals. So with that big position, human life, we have a big responsibility. The responsibility is to know the laws of the land. Because if you don't know the laws of the land and don't follow them, then incarceration, imprisonment, punishment. So Veda is for human beings, not cats and dogs. Cats and dogs can say, I didn't know. I don't read. No one, my mother cat didn't teach me about the Veda. So you can also say, my mother, Mrs. Gupta, didn't teach me about the Veda. Well, anyway, you better find out on your own before it's too late. Otherwise, instant karma is going to get you, as they say, is going to catch up with you. Because the laws of karma do exist, believe it or not. And everyone, as the Bible says, you will reap what you sow. Everywhere the law of karma is explained in Granth Sahib. Law of karma is explained in Quran. Law of karma is explained in Bible. Law of karma is explained in Veda and Puran. We have Puran and Quran. Because the Muslims always have to change everything. Oh, you have Puran, we have Quran. You have beard, Indian sadhus have beard, we cut off the mustache. We take off the mustache. You worship the cow, we eat the cow. We worship the pig, you eat the pig. You eat the pig, we worship the pig. We stay away from the pig. Muslims don't eat pig. Hindus eat pig. So-called Hindus. Low class. Everything they do, opposite, right? So you have Puran, we have Quran. Your sages wrote very ancient books. Puran, Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, Vayu Puran, Adi Puran. Oh, we have to write a book. What should I call it? Well, the Hindus have their Puran. We'll call it Quran. Oh yeah, Quran. Like there's Godrej Lak and there's Gudrej. Yeah. There's a Nuckley one. They use the same type font, right? There's a Sony stereo and then there's a Soni stereo, Sony. You can get from Carol Bagh, made in India. Sony, USA, Ulasnagar, or whatever it is. So Quran and Puran. But what I'm saying is in all these shastras you'll find the same principle, the law of karma. So we should learn about the 10 offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. We should avoid them. And we should, as this offense, Shastra Nindanam, means that if you're chanting Hare Krishna without taking Diksha, then you're committing Nama Parad. Because the Shastras are saying, take Diksha. And if you're not taking Diksha, saying, oh, I don't need Guru, chanting Hare Krishna doesn't require initiation, so I just chant. But that statement means that's how power, it's so powerful. It's a glorification, an enunciation of the glories of the holy name. But it's not saying not to take initiation. Because in another Shastra about the same holy name, it's saying it's an offense to that same holy name, Shastra Nindanam, not to take initiation. Because Shastra Nindanam means disregard the Shastras. And all the Shastras say human life means you must take Diksha, or it's Nishfal. Your human life is Nishfal. No fruit if you don't take Diksha from realized Guru. Then the next topic is who is Guru, what is Guru, all these things. And I just want to discuss this one point I had in my notes. Very interesting point. This discussion was, everywhere in our scriptures says chanting Hare Krishna doesn't require initiation, then why do you give Harinam initiation? So all these people here, they can tell you the answer. Because they just heard about it.